As we've seen, police misconduct cases in local areas around the country have become national stories. And on November 29th, 2012, 62 Cleveland police cars followed a 1979 Chevy Malibu into the parking lot of a middle school in East Cleveland. 13 officers fired 137 rounds at the vehicle, killing Timothy Russell and Melissa Williams. Neither Russell nor Williams was armed. Both are African American. An investigation by Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine revealed a number of problems throughout the police department.
Ultimately, there is a systemic failure in the Cleveland Police Department as far as leadership, as far as communication.
But one Cleveland officer, Michael Brelo, who prosecutors say fired 49 of the 137 rounds at the victims, was charged with voluntary manslaughter and now awaits his fate after a month-long trial. Covering that trial and joining us is ML Schulze, reporter for WKSU. ML, great to see you.
Hello. How is your day?
It's great. It's great to be here. And tell me about how much the city of Cleveland is on edge, depending on the outcome of this case.
Actually, the city of Cleveland's been on edge. The city officials of Cleveland have been on edge ever since that word systemic passed the lips of Attorney General Mike DeWine. Because what the Attorney General was saying is the city had massive problems with training, with procedures, with its use of force. And the city initially rejected that, but at the same time recognized, in a way, it does have problems. And that led to a U.S. Justice Department investigation, all of this running on separate tracks from the criminal case against Michael Brelo himself.
Do you see a political situation where law enforcement in Cleveland is lined up against political constituents and candidates, the mayor's office, that sort of thing?
As is often the case with these kind of things, there aren't two sides. There
right.
are
sure.
myriad sides. The police union has been very vociferous in saying the city has, especially the prosecutor in this case, has unfairly gone after a police officer who legitimately feared for his life and acted as you would want a police officer to act. That's the closing argument. That's what it comes down to, is that he feared for his life. The second part of the argument is that even if he did something out of line, nobody can prove that his bullets were the ones that actually killed Melissa Williams and Timothy Russell, which when you've got nearly 140 bullets flying, that can be quite an argument.
It is difficult to figure out what bullet went where in a situation like that. But is there a way in which Brelo can be exonerated, but the police department can be convicted in some sense and prevent violence on the streets?
And in a way, the prosecutor actually made that argument in closing. Even though they have singled out Brelo as the one who stepped literally over the line when he stepped onto the hood of Timothy Russell's car and fired bullets down into him and Melissa Williams, they're saying that's what took it into the criminal realm. But interestingly, the first part of their closing argument was everything that could have gone wrong that night went wrong because nobody stopped to ask questions. Mm-hmm. No police officer, no supervisor said, wait a minute, do we think they have a car? Why do we think they're fleeing? What's going on? How many do we need in pursuit? Is the pursuit worth it? And that was probably the first 20 minutes of the closing argument of the prosecutor.
So this chase just got started out of a kind of herd mentality.
It's believed.
That's according to the prosecutor.
Yes. Right. And actually, to an extent, even the defense is conceding some parts of that. The car apparently backfired. It was reported as shots fired. At that point, the prosecutor says somebody should have gotten on the horn and said, wait a minute, shots fired at whom, where, how do we know? But none of those questions were asked, and the pursuit began. You had officers, 62 cars chasing. You had supervisors joining in the chase. And you only had a few places where the supervisors of specific areas of the city said, back off. This isn't worth it.
Does the black community in Cleveland have a sense of being under siege by law enforcement in the way we've seen in places like Baltimore and, to a certain extent, Ferguson, that law enforcement is unfairly focusing on areas of the black community in its monitoring of crime and order?
Well, the Justice Department report, the Justice Department came in after this and investigated the Cleveland Police Department and found, like Attorney General Mike DeWine, systemic problems throughout the department, problems with training, use of force, long history of issues. What they did not find was racism. They said we cannot say that these problems are black and white. They are police versus community. So far, Cleveland has remained amazingly calm. Some people have said scarily calm in some ways because they've raised the question of, is the city so apathetic about its police department, expects so little from its police department that it doesn't even bother to get upset? Other people have said, no, this indicates there's a residual well of goodwill between the police department and the community that people just aren't seeing.
Reporter at WKSU, ML Schulze, covering the Brillo trial that has the city of Cleveland on edge. Thanks so much.
Surely.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.